Hello and welcome to the July edition of our podcast. As always, a co-production of the Goethe Institute and Zündfunk Bayern 2. My name is David Creedon, and I'll be presenting the English version of Angie Portman's podcast, featuring her favourite 5 recent releases made in Germany. Our lineup for this month features Halo, Angela Augs, Sophia Jani and Therese Allgeier, Ski Mask, and a Hamburg School sampler called Der Text ist meine Party, or The Lyrics are My Party. Let's start with Mascha Krella and Julia Kliemann, a Berlin-based duo called Halo. Here's their first single called Cups and Laps off their debut album In the Company of No One. These two Berliner musicians, Mascha Krella and Julia Kliemann, teamed up to form a duo 10 years ago. Some of you might know Mascha Krella from bands like Mina and Contriva, or from her terrific solo albums, and Julia Kliemann from Komet. The duo call themselves Halo. Why Halo? Julia Kliemann explains what's behind the band's moniker.
10 years ago, we had a pretty complicated band name. It was long, with 5 A's in it, and nobody could remember it. So we threw out 4 of the A's and a few consonants and ended up with something like Halo. Halo is an oxymoron. It suggests imminent happiness, something in the offing that you fear and look forward to in hopeful anticipation, and that sometimes, though not always, materializes. It's also a super cool greeting that transcends borders, that's understandable and can be used pretty much globally.
Halo's first single is called Cups and Laps. It's a marvellous mix of indie pop and electronica, a bit reminiscent of the sound that developed in the 1990s, when musicians could avail themselves of the new digital tools to record not just drums and guitars, but also samples, sequences and loops played on their home computers, which gave rise to a new genre, indie-tronica. Masha tells the story of Cups and Laps.
Cups and Laps was the first demo Julia ever sent me, about a dozen years ago. I remember she was working at a graphic design studio at the time, where I'd often pop in for coffee with her. I sat there listening to this demo and saw her sitting across from me with a cup of coffee and the computer in front of her, moving files around this way and that on the screen. And those few lines of the song and the piano line resonated with such melancholy, such a yearning to drop out of the daily grind of kids and work that we were both stuck in at the time, that I really got the song. I found it very graphic.
According to Julia, the title track of Halo's debut album, In the Company of No One, is about hopes and yearnings, and how you deal with them, where you stand. As to where Halo stand, in terms of musical affinities, Masha sums it up in a nutshell.
I think Julia and I are both fond of 1980s pop songs. Plus I have a nerdy penchant for guitar solos and that sort of thing, which adds up to something like Halo.
On their debut album, this Berlin twosome sound like a whole band. Some of Halo's extremely pretty songs remind me of Tongue, Stereolab, or Americana on Acid. So why did we have to wait so long for this fine album? And another question, will there be another one?
Ja, warum Sachen 10 Jahre dauern, das weiß man ja immer nicht so genau.
You never quite know why some things take 10 years. I'd say that life got between us for a while and has now brought us back together. Whether there will be another Halo album, inshallah, no idea, we'll see. Every time I see Julia, I ask if she's got a new demo for me. I'd be up for it.
That was Masha Krella talking about her Halo project and their future prospects. Speaking of the future, Spacelarking in the Age of Spiritual Machines is the sixth album by Munich-based Florian Kreyer, a.k.a. Angela Augs. It's yet another wild space trip and a trip into the future. It's about artificial intelligence, aliens, and our urge to explore outer space.
Thank you. Auf der ganzen Platte geht's ja so ein bisschen andererseits um diese
Sehnsucht. On the other hand, the whole album is about this yearning, this age-old human urge to leave the planet. Every second blues or folk song is about leaving home or leaving town, heading off for somewhere else. And on the other hand, you've got these visitations by some extraterrestrial species, which is a very old tradition, even if cloaked in religious lyrics. Both of these tropes involve hopes as well as fears. All new developments can actually be read against this backdrop.
So lassen sich auch die ganzen neuen Entwicklungen eigentlich immer auf dieser Folie lesen.
That's what Flo Kreyer, alias Angele Aug, says about his new album Spacelarking in the Age of Spiritual Machines. Flo admits to our Zündfunk colleague Noah Noack that he's always been fascinated by the subject of aliens and was totally into The X-Files, the American TV series about eerie FBI cases.
Und ich habe mich natürlich dann im Zuge des Albums viel auch
whilst working on the album, I looked into what astronomers and experimental physicists actually think about all this. Is it even scientifically possible for extraterrestrial life to exist? And many astronomers believe that it does exist and that extraterrestrials have long since discovered us. But this species doesn't feel like paying us a visit yet. Maybe we're not very hospitable. In literature and film, alien visitations are usually awfully dystopian affairs. Aliens come down to Earth and wreak havoc here, which is why people tend to be a bit afraid of them. But I think it's more of a projection. We humans are actually afraid of ourselves. Because if you look back over the course of human history, heading off to a new place, wreaking havoc there, and then taking off again has very often been our modus operandi.
Geschichte der Menschheit ansieht, ist es eine Gangart, die sehr oft angewendet wurde.
While alien visitations may sound dystopian to others, Angele Aug celebrates them in his fine brand of freak folk. There's something wonderfully weird and dark about his songs, which nevertheless never sound hopeless. This is psychedelic, dreamy, space is the place pop with terrific melodies. Ambient and soundtrack music shot through with krautrock, hip-hop and downbeat elements. Somewhere between The Flaming Lips, Mac DeMarco and Jay Dilla. Angele Aug's intergalactic space pop is released on Inselgruppe, Flo Kreyer's label, which also releases the songs of Aloha Input, the band in which multi-talented Flo Kreyer still plays. From outer space, which is the perfect backdrop for projections of all sorts of over-the-top ideas and ideologies, let's beam ourselves down to the little clubs and pubs of St. Pauli and the Hamburg School, a genre of German indie pop music pioneered by Hamburg-based bands back in the day, and now celebrating its 30th anniversary, with a big two-part TV documentary about Die Hamburger Schule, whose influence is still important today, as well as a book and compilation entitled Der Text ist meine Party, Die Hamburger Schule von 1989 bis 2000. In other words, The Lyrics are My Party, The Hamburg School from 1989 to 2000.
Mein Mann ist kein Messer. Platzhaufen. Texas Party, Texas Brot. Sie und Hund auf dem Nebelgrau. Hey, hey, unser Lied. Sie und Hund auf dem Nebelgrau. Hey, hey, unser Lied. Texas Party, bin kein Messer. Besser müssten die Ockel gehen.
That was Kolossale Jugend, including the late Christoph Schroef, with the song featuring the titular line, Der Text ist meine Party. The term Hamburger Schule, by the way, was purportedly coined by Hans Nieswand, a former Spex music magazine editor, writer and music producer. But Nieswand recently refused to take credit for the term on Zündfunk Radio. In one of his reviews in 1991, he did use the expression ganz alte Hamburger Schule, or very old Hamburg school, but what he meant by that was something completely different, namely a gentlemanly quality. In any case, however, Hamburg school was an allusion to the Frankfurt school, the philosophical circle in 1920s Frankfurt that took up the theories of Hegel, Marx and Freud. So it meant more or less intellectualized bands that took up postmodern theories and social criticism. Bands like Tokotronic, Blumfeld, Goldene Zitrone, Die Braut haut ins Auge, and Kolossale Jugend, all of whom are included in the compilation. The bands were totally different, explains Natasha Geyer in her documentary about the Hamburg School. But they had one thing in common, German lyrics that were reflective, often complex, ironic, and involved thinking outside the box. All of a sudden, pop songs were exciting again, and not only that, but smart into the bargain. People were dancing and discussing. Not for nothing did it also come to be called Discourse Rock or Discursive Rock. And the Discourse Rock scene, which remains exceedingly discursive to this day, really lives up to its name and has reacted accordingly, that is to say with plenty of discussing ever since the book, documentary and compilation came out. One hotly debated question is, where was trailblazer Bernd Begemann in the documentary? Begemann was the guy who brought them all, Jochen Distelmeier, Frank Spielke and Bernadette Lahengst, from the small town of Salzuflen to Hamburg. And the second controversial question rocking the internet these days is, was the Hamburg school a male preserve? Moritz Jelting, our colleague at Zündfunk, asked Bernadette Lahengst about women and feminism in the Hamburg school.
Also es gab ja auch noch andere, die sich beschwert haben, dass sie nicht vorkommen, zum Beispiel auch die Greta-Schwestern.
Well, others complained about being left out of the documentary too. The Greta sisters, for example, who were both journalists at Spex in the early 90s, Kersti Greta was the one who wrote the very first articles about Blumfeld and Tokotronic. So I quite understand their disgruntlement about being passed over. Because it's always claimed that there were no women on stage or among the movers and shakers. And the more this misconception gets repeated, the more entrenched it becomes. The NDR documentary actually did make a point of showing that some female musicians were in on the act. So it's a shame the Greta sisters were overlooked. But I doubt this is the last documentary to be made about this period in the 90s, which has made such a lasting mark on the German music scene.
Diese Zeit in den 90ern, die doch schon sehr prägend war für die deutsche Musikszene.
That was Bernadette Lahengst talking about the Hamburg School and the current-day feminist debate. Digitizing some old videos for the documentary recently put her in mind of how hard it was back in the early 1990s for a female band that presented themselves as such not to be constantly and dismissively reduced to being women musicians. But many fledgling bands nowadays write to her saying how inspiring it was. This female band playing their instruments so naturally and making such great pop songs about self-empowerment and even descriptions of the Hamburg School. So much for Bernadette Lahengst. Sophia Jani and Therese Allgeier have come out with an album of instrumental music. No voices, no lyrics, no discourse. Sophia Jani, originally from Utting am Ammersee, studied composition in Munich and at Yale, and is currently the Dallas Symphony Orchestra composer in residence. In other words, she's a classical composer. Violinist Therese Allgeier, on the other hand, plays not only contemporary classical, but also experimental pop music and even electronica, especially in a project called Fallwander. Here's Sophia Jani's piece for solo violin, entitled simply Arpeggio. Six pieces for solo violin, as the album is called, actually comprises seven compositions by Sophia Jani performed by Therese Allgeier. The titles of the pieces, for instance Arpeggio, the one we've just heard, Capriccio and Ricochet, are all musical terms drawn from the world of violin playing. But Jani insists that the titles actually did not inform the basic album concept. It was the other way round.
Ich habe mir nicht zuerst diese Begrifflichkeiten genommen und dann versucht, Musik dazu zu schreiben.
I didn't start with these terms and use them as templates for the music. I wrote the music freely, intuitively, with very little outside inspiration. My main source of inspiration was the act of playing the violin itself, perhaps comparable to a dancer's movements inspiring ballet music. The act of playing the violin came first and the titles at the very end. I picked the titles that felt the most poetic to me at the time, which is why I still feel an emotional connection to them.
Aus dem Grund sind diese Titel für mich fast schon emotional.
Violinist Therese Allgeier feels an emotional connection to the very special place in which the album was recorded, the Maria Trost Church near Nesselwang.
Das Besondere an der Kirche Maria Trost.
What's special about Maria Trost Church to me is how intensely close to nature it feels there. The church is in a very remote part of the Allgäu Mountains, in the middle of a forest, and it radiates an incredible sense of calm. So it was a very congenial place to record music. Even when we weren't actually recording, you walk out and gaze into the distance, surrounded by all this greenery and quiet. The only thing you hear now and then is the wind in the trees. It also has childhood memories for me. I grew up in a place not far from Maria Trost, where my dad is the church musician, and he had a lot of work at Maria Trost Church too. So I'd hike up to the church a lot and spent much of my childhood there. I think it was essential for the recording and for my playing to be in a place that wasn't neutral.
Keinen neutralen Ort zu haben, in dem wir das aufnehmen.
hat Maria Trost-Turch, Sophia Jani and Teresa Allgeier set out to push the limits of what you can do on a violin. The result is an album of very reduced and highly intense music. Music that starts serenely and can morph into a torrent of sound over the course of a single piece. Music whose highly repetitive passages smack of minimalism. This contemporary classical music can also serve as a good soundtrack for nocturnal meanderings through the city or on the way home from the club. From Munich's Blitzclub, for example, where Ski Mask might have just DJed. Following his debut in 2016, this Munich-based producer and Blitzclub resident DJ has put out several exquisite albums and EPs on Ilian Tape, including ISO 10. ISO 10 runs the gamut from mysteriously restrained to concrete and above all, danceable music. This time around, Brian Müller, alias Ski Mask, banks not so much on breakbeats as on soft, pumping techno. Extraterrestrial synth pads catapult the listener way out into ice-cold, faraway realms, with which Ski Mask is bound to remain a German techno export hit. Even if he still keeps a pretty low profile, ISO 10, like his previous albums, isn't available on the main streaming services like Spotify and the like either, only on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. At least for the time being. Because, explains Brian Müller, the big platforms like Apple Music and Spotify don't really appreciate music. But we popcasters at the Goethe Institute and Zündfunk Bayern 2 sure do. And we'll be back in the dog days of August with a new lineup of music we appreciate. Meantime, this is Dangling Dave Creedon signing off on Antje Portmann's July Popcast.